Temple in 1969, I wasn't very attracted to joining an institution because, first of all, the devotees preached very heavy to me. It wasn't a lot of compassion in those days. When I first walked in the temple, the devotees said, unless you join immediately, Kali Yuga is coming, and you're going to be a short and living underground, eating human flesh, and everything's finished, so join immediately. It's like the Christians sometimes say, accept the Lord Jesus or you go to hell. So we had our own version in the early days of fanatic devotees. So that was in the Boston Temple. The Boston Temple and also in the Washington Temple at that time. And so I decided I didn't want to join the Hare Krishna movement. So for about 2 years, I practiced Krishna consciousness, but I didn't want to join because of that reason and also because of the shaving of the head and the dress, you know, the robes, which we considered to be like bed sheets at that time, or a lady's dress. So I was determined every time I saw devotees, I'd run the other direction. But then something happened. I was staying in Gainesville, Florida, outside of Gainesville, Florida, in a farm with some friends. And then I heard through the grapevine that His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada was coming to Gainesville. Amarendra Prabhu, who is now our ISKCON lawyer, had made arrangements to the school and sponsor Srila Prabhupada's arrival. So I moved in the temple, the hair came off, of course, and put on the robes and everything like that, and then helped prepare for Srila Prabhupada's arrival. And devotees in those days were so enthusiastic, they would do anything that Prabhupada wanted. I mean, I remember the early days of the movement, like if Prabhupada was coming, everybody would run into the airport, have these gigantic kirtans in the middle of the airport. So we were determined to get lotus flowers for Srila Prabhupada's arrival. And the only place that there were lotus flowers was this place near Gainesville, called Lake Alice, which was filled with alligators. So myself and the other devotees, we went swimming with the alligators, which are like little crocodiles. I mean, not that little. You know, they're actually like 7 feet long. And to get these lotus flowers for Srila Prabhupada. So then, Srila Prabhupada came in, and what I experienced when I saw Srila Prabhupada was his overwhelming compassion. He was someone who loved everybody, and of course, he loved me and all living entities, but without any expectation of personal gain, or no personal motivation. Like everyone I experienced before, had a personal motivation, even if they said they loved me. I mean, like my mother. I mean, she loves me, of course. But my mother, her personal motivation was that I become a doctor and please her. And if I didn't do that, I mean, all hell would break loose. Since I joined the Hare Krishna movement, it was a problem for a while. But Prabhupada, his motivation was simply to give me the best thing. Nothing for himself, everything for Krishna and everything to help the living entities such as myself come to Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And I felt that the first time I met Prabhupada. It was like, when Prabhupada stepped in the room, it was like the whole room expanded to eternity. I mean, you could be in the smallest room, like 1/10 the size of this room, and it was like you were in the spiritual world.
ago with Shiv Prabhupada on some preaching engagements. There was this famous transcendental broadcast television program with Prabhupada. And that night, Prabhupada gave initiation to some devotees, and I had the opportunity to be a Prabhupada's room. I didn't take initiation that night because I had just been a movement 1 week. But Prabhupada was sitting on his bed, just dressed in the kamsha, very short kamsha, and Prabhupada's body was just transcendental, glowing gold. And it was just so overwhelming being with Prabhupada that Prabhupada was giving initiation to devotees in the middle of the night. This is after a preaching program. There was no fire sacrifice, but Prabhupada was giving the beads. And I remember he gave the beads to this one devotee, Bhagwat, of course. And Bhagwat took the beads with his left hand. And Prabhupada sternly said to him, "No, right hand." Prabhupada got so scared, he grabbed the beads and he thought Prabhupada was going to take the beads back from him. The Prabhupada initiated Bhagwat and the devotee Dharmadas, who's in Miami right now, and several of the devotees that night, and I think it was Amarindra. Yeah, I think Amarindra took initiation that night too. And then eventually, oh yeah, one interesting thing is when we were seeing Prabhupada off a day or two later, Srinanana Maharaj, who was not sannyasi at the time, he was married, he was the temple president, he decided that we didn't want Prabhupada to sit under the ordinary seat in the airport, so we had to bring the Vyasasan to the airport. The Vyasasan was about this big. So you can imagine. And it was bigger, it was built like a truck, basically. The old style of Vyasasan, you know, just solid wood, covered with cloth. So we put the Vyasasan in the van, and it was sticking out halfway to the other traffic area. And we were driving from Gainesville, Florida to Jacksonville, Florida, where the airport was. And everyone must have thought that was crazy. And when we arrived at the airport following Prabhupada, it took about 10 of us to carry this Vyasasan. So Prabhupada looked at us like we were crazy. He said, "Just pull back with this thing." You know, can you imagine taking the gigantic Vyasasan into the New Orleans airport for Prabhupada to sit down? And Jacksonville was a smaller airport anyway. And so then of course they put the Vyasasan back in the truck. And then we sat down with Prabhupada and we keep chanting Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada, though, was looking not at us, but he was looking at one devotee who was distributing his books. This is a very interesting lesson for me. That Prabhupada kept looking and appreciating more the devotee who was preaching than us who were just sitting there and just looking at Prabhupada. You know, it's a rock and roll star or something. That's, I mean, basically, that we didn't know very much. We're just sitting there. Later on, that became further cemented in my mind when I was a temple president in Caracas, Venezuela. And we had just won the Christmas marathon. We defeated Radha Damodar Party in both distributions. And then we went to see Prabhupada in his rooms in Mayapur. And Prabhupada was being shown pictures of the new temple that was just constructed. And Prabhupada was very nonchalant. That means he wasn't like, "Wow, this is great, wonderful." I said, "Okay, very nice, very nice, very nice." And then after Prabhupada saw these pictures of the new temple in Berkeley, I said to Srila Prabhupada that this devotee, I had brought one of the Sankirtan devotees with me, this devotee has distributed 10,000 of your hardbound Bhagavad Gita's in 1 month. That's a pretty good record, I think. 10,000 in one city, that was in Caracas, Venezuela, where I was the temple president. And Prabhupada's eyes opened wide, and he was so pleased. And he said very loudly, "He has the mercy of Krishna." And of course, I was feeling envious. And I think a lot of the devotees there were feeling envious. And the Prabhupada understood we were feeling that. He looked around and he said, "Oh, you you all have the mercy of Krishna. Knowing what our feelings were. And then again, he looked at the devotees and said, well, just like the gopis are in a very special position. So Prabhupada was equating the distribution of his books and the preaching of Krishna consciousness to the mood of the gopis, or the exalted position of the gopis of Vrindavan, which we know are the most exalted devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is, it really cemented that in my mind that, you know, instead of, as Prabhupada said, looking, going to Vrindavan and looking for Krishna under Krishna and under different bushes, we should serve, or as Prabhupada said, deserve, then desire. So we should serve Prabhupada and please Prabhupada by preaching, and of course, please Lord Chaitanya. Our access to Radha and Krishna is through the disciple succession and ultimately through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so that means Sankirtan, you know, preaching Krishna consciousness. You know, this is Sankirtan movement. And even Prabhupada called it a movement. He didn't call it the Hare Krishna Society. He called it the Hare Krishna movement, because a movement is supposed to move forward. And Prabhupada's desire was basically to change the whole world. As Prabhupada was quoting the verse in the Bhagavatam, that to create a revolution for the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. Consciousness is meant to do this. So Prabhupada was very ambitious out of his compassion to say that, he was impelled by that feeling of compassion. Compassion means basically love, like Vasudeva Dutt. Anyone who was with, like Vasudeva Dutt, of course, those of you all know, he was ready to go to hell or stay in this world forever just to free all the living entities from the cycle of birth and death so they could go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada had that same mood. He was intense with compassion. And his whole being emanated compassion and love and ultimately dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his Guru Maharaj. And that's really what, you know, inspired me. Like Prabhupada's compassion inspires me to keep serving his movement. Because this movement, Prabhupada's movement, ISKCON, is the vehicle for carrying out Prabhupada's purpose. You know, like what that one time Prabhupada said, that to think that one can become Krishna conscious outside of the society of ISKCON is living in an hallucination. And we really have to understand what that means. Because if you leave Prabhupada's society, as many we've seen some devotees have left to make their own fortunes outside of Prabhupada's society. First of all, they disobey Srila Prabhupada's order. And as Prabhupada said, one who disobeys the order of the spiritual master becomes asara, or useless. And secondly, they're not part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to change the whole world. They may be changing themselves. They may be very happy themselves in different ways. But they're not part of this dynamic movement. And then when Prabhupada was present, we were actually thinking that we could make the whole world Krishna conscious in 5 years or less. And Prabhupada encouraged us in that move. I mean, he even said to Balabhadra Prabhu that he would be the first president of the United States. And it was such a dynamic, exciting time in ISKCON. The book distribution increasing or doubling every year or tripling every year. And Prabhupada pushing us to higher heights. So somehow or other, if we want to connect and please Prabhupada, we have to enter into that mood of Prabhupada's compassion and love, and also remain enthusiastic and never retire from the preaching mission, because that connects us personally to Radha Krishna, and it connects everyone to Srila Prabhupada and to the spiritual goal. So, anyway. ours who was actually Krishna conscious.
His holy name, dear Krishna, Goswami Maharaj, peace. My best guru, Srila Prabhupada, peace. Hare Krishna. Yeah, when Maharaj was speaking, I was thinking that how Krishna actually created the atmosphere, created all the arrangements for Srila Prabhupada to come to America and spread Krishna consciousness. This movement is Krishna's movement. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And in order to make the field for Prabhupada to come, Krishna actually sent his devotees to America. Krishna made arrangements for devotees to take work in different parts of America. And so that's why when Srila Prabhupada came, these young boys and girls, they just came to Srila Prabhupada. And I'm saying it because Prabhupada himself actually mentioned that one. Somebody, that one time that I can remember, I'm sure Prabhupada must have mentioned many other times, when one devotee was in a very humble mood, saying that how fallen he was and how Prabhupada saved him. Prabhupada's response was, that was all superficial. As soon as they fall, he came. So the apparently fallen condition of that devotee, of those devotees, was just a superficial thing. They just responded to Srila Prabhupada as soon as he came. If this was not Krishna's arrangement, how could Krishna consciousness movement spread in this way all over the world in just 10 years? Prabhupada started his preaching in 1966, and by 1977, what Prabhupada had achieved is an impossible thing. If we take note, if we just go back to that period, then we can see at the age of 17, Srila Prabhupada came to America. Prabhupada actually did not have any idea where he was going to stay, where he was going to go. He did not even know whether he would have any food to eat. In such uncertainty, Srila Prabhupada came to America with only $6 in his pocket. $46 in America. And you can see what an amazing risk Prabhupada actually took. And that shows that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. What is the symptom of a pure devotee? The symptom of a pure devotee is simply dependent upon Krishna. He's simply dependent upon Krishna. That is his purity. And this is how we see how Prabhupada depended upon Krishna. At the age of 70, living such a comfortable situation in Vrindavan. I mean, to have a place in Radha Damodar temple next to Rupa Goswami Samadhi, I mean, this is the most desirable thing for any Vaishnava. To be in Vrindavan, in Radhadama temple, next to Rupa Goswami Samadhi, you are just, that is where you are. And that situation, Prabhupada just left and decided to come to America. So, so much uncertainty. Like, Prabhupada came in a cargo ship. Not a passenger ship. I remember last year we were on a cruise for 9 days. You know, it was a really a 5-star hotel in the middle of our ocean. And still we were feeling uncomfortable. We were having seasickness. I mean, so much so that Radha Maharaj left, you know, after 2 days before the thing ended, the cruise ended, he couldn't take it anymore. He just, I mean, we were in a ship which is like a 5-star hotel with all kinds of fancy arrangements, and still we were feeling so uncomfortable. And Srila Prabhupada was in a cargo ship. Cargo ship means that carries goods. They generally move at a very slow speed. And there is no comfortable arrangement. It's like a goods train. Like traveling in a goods train. Moving slowly, no seat, no arrangement, just a small cabin. And that also, that arrangement Srila Prabhupada made through such difficulty. Prabhupada just got to know Sumati Morarji. Very nice lady, very pious. And she was also a Vaishnava from Bala Sampradaya. And she was the chairperson of CDSC. And Prabhupada requested her, why don't you have so many ships going to America, you need to make it arrangement for me to go to America. And she was absolutely reluctant to let Prabhupada go. And in a way she couldn't convince Prabhupada about the discomfort of the journey in a cargo ship. She's trying to convince Prabhupada that what did you do? She was asking Prabhupada, what did you do with the Vegas? Who will listen to you? You may think that you'll go to America, but who will listen to you? Why do you want to go there? You don't have anything to eat and you do not know how severe the weather is there. And the Prabhupada is becoming 15. No, please. This is what my Guru Maharaj suggested, Guru Maharaj asked me to do. And this is probably the only time I will ever be able to do anything. I tried my whole life. You know, when Prabhupada was instructed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to go to the Western world and preach in English language, Prabhupada was 26 years old. And now Prabhupada is 69 years old, practically 43 years after that. And finally Prabhupada convinced Sumati Maharaj. Just Prabhupada begged him that please make this happen. And then as you know, like in that ship, Prabhupada had two heart attacks. As it is, the journey through this ocean in a ship is very, very difficult, very tedious. And then on top of that, becoming sick. And not only just a minor sickness, heart attacks, you know, like, and no drug, no doctor to treat those. Prabhupada also didn't tell anybody, just tolerate. tolerated that pain. And Prabhupada said that he, you know, Krishna actually became his safety. And the captain of the ship, Arun Pandya, also admitted that in his entire career for the last 30-some years, he never seen Atlantic to be so peaceful. As if Krishna made the journey so smooth because of Krishna. Atlantic became completely. That's it. And then Prabhupada came to America. When Prabhupada came to America, he didn't know where he was going to stay. The only person that Prabhupada knew in America is the person who sponsored him for a visa, whom he never met. Prabhupada just knew his father. He was in Mathura, a very nice man. Gopal Agarwal's father. And so Prabhupada requested him, why don't you ask your son to sponsor my visa? Because as you know, to come to America, you need someone to sponsor the visa. And that person was very kind, and he wrote to his son, Swami, he wants to go to America, and he sponsored his visa. So he sponsored his visa, and that was the only person that Prabhupada knew. And he sponsored the visa for Srila Prabhupada because his father asked him. He never knew Srila Prabhupada. He never knew what to expect out of Srila Prabhupada. And that was the only person that Prabhupada knew, and just before boarding a ship, Prabhupada wrote to him, Gopala Brahma, that in such and such day by such and such ship, he is coming to New York. And fortunately, this person, Gopala Brahma, makes some arrangement. Like Gopala, Prabhupada wrote the letter and boarded the ship. So Gopala didn't have any opportunity to even write back to Srila Prabhupada whether he is going to accept him or not. Like in such uncertainty, Srila Prabhupada went. And as I said, Gopala was a nice person and he made arrangements for agent to be there to receive Srila Prabhupada, take him to the boat authority bus terminal, and put Prabhupada up in a bus to Butler, Pennsylvania. Now, if this person, Gopala Agarwal, did not make this arrangement, if he just ignored the letter, or if the letter sometimes get lost, if the letter didn't arrive, what would have happened? Of course, Krishna would have made the arrangement for Srila Prabhupada. And Krishna did make that arrangement for Srila Prabhupada. Gopala Agarwal was not just a chance happening. It was Krishna's arrangement. Gopala Agarwal sent the agent to receive Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada arrived in Butler. And there also, he made arrangement for Srila Prabhupada in the YMCA. I mean, naturally, he didn't make arrangements for Prabhupada to stay in the house. Because, after all, Prabhupada was a stranger. And on top of everything, like Gopala Agarwal was married to an American woman. So when an Indian comes here and gets married to an American, his lifestyle changes completely. His lifestyle, and obviously, I mean, although he may have been a vegetarian before, being from Mathura, he may have been a vegetarian, but after coming to America, especially when you get married to an American wife, you know, like Hare Krishna were different. But those days, like for an American girl, is no question of becoming a vegetarian. But she was nice, savvy. She was a nice person. She knew that Prabhupada was a sadhu, so they made separate arrangements for Prabhupada's cooking. And they received Prabhupada. And naturally, in the course of time, as Maharaj was saying, just by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada was an experience. Like, it is actually a life-changing experience to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada. One can see, as they say, darshani pavitra karveitamar bhoom. Just by giving darshan, you purify a living entity. I mean, that was quite apparent with Srila Prabhupada. Like, just by seeing Srila Prabhupada, just by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, people change. I think something is wrong with the sound. Yeah.
Both the microphones are on. Or what is off?
What's that?
No, one of the microphones be turned off.
No, it's also it's off.
Anyway, it's all right. There was some hum. And so that is how Srila Prabhupada changed people. Like, Sally became so affected by Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada was leaving, she was crying. Meeting a person only for a couple of weeks, you know, to develop such attachment. And in Lilamrita we find Sally Agarwal version, how she was affected by Srila Prabhupada. How she was affected to see how Prabhupada is to deal with her little son, Bridge. And it is in Prabhupada's presence that Bridge started to walk. And it was a big occasion for him. And Prabhupada stayed in Butler. But there also, Prabhupada didn't want to stay there for too long. Prabhupada decided to leave. Naturally, Prabhupada didn't come to America to stay in a small little town like Butler. Prabhupada came to preach and Prabhupada came to expand Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that was very clear in Prabhupada's mind. Prabhupada came to New York. Another uncertainty. Prabhupada somehow got to know about this Dr. Mishra. And Dr. Mishra had his ashram, Ananda ashram, and he, Prabhupada, stayed. He invited Srila Prabhupada to stay there for some time. Not for long, actually. And Prabhupada just came to New York. And there we see Prabhupada came across some. Now the Krishna's plan started to unfold in a real way. The young Americans started to become one small group of American youth that used to go to Ananda Ashram became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And one of them was that a boy called David Allen. And Prabhupada was looking for a place, and there was one of the boys that Prabhupada knew. He was moving to San Francisco, and he had a loft in Bowery. Loft means the top of the building where people store things. Like, it's not meant for lofts, are not meant for living. But this loft was made into a studio. Right? They put up a bathroom. So this person, when he got to know that Prabhupada was looking for a place, and he told Prabhupada, oh, I wish I knew just right near about a few days ago. Because I gave this apartment, gave this law to David Allen. he said, it's okay, I'll speak to David. He also knew you. And he spoke to David Allen, and David Allen agreed to share the Lord Krishna Prabhu. At the beginning, it was very nice. Like, David Allen was taking to Krishna consciousness very seriously. And Prabhupada even wrote to one of his godfathers that most really David Allen would be his first American disciple. But unfortunately, David Allen went back to LSD again. In those days, many of his young boys were taking LSD. That was the thing to do. And when David Allen got back into that, he started to become more and more negative about Shiva. And he started to become antagonistic. And at one point, when he was tripping on LSD, he lost his senses and he went to attack Shiva. Can you imagine a 70-year-old man climbing down the stairs, running down the stairs, just to avoid being attacked by this crazy boy? Daughter comes to the street. No, only place where he was living, that place also would come on. Then sometimes we become so overwhelmed with our own difficulties. But when we see what people have gone through, like everything becomes we are facing difficulties. I mean, it's because of Prabhupada, we are actually living in paradise. Wherever we go, we have so many wonderful arrangements. Like I came here yesterday, so many of you went to receive me at the airport. Then you I come to the temple, give me big Guru Puja and all that. You know, when Prabhupada came here those days, no one was there to give that kind of treatment to him. Rather, the only place that Prabhupada was staying here, Prabhupada was driven out of that place. One of the young boys that Prabhupada knew, and Prabhupada liked him very much, and that boy also became very attracted to Srila Prabhupada. It was a young boy called Michael Brown. So Prabhupada called him and told him what happened. He also knew, they're all from the same group, David Allen and Michael Grant. So he could not accommodate Prabhupada in his place, but he arranged for Prabhupada to stay with one of his friends. For the time being, Prabhupada stayed with a friend of his. And then Michael Grant, who later on became Mukunda Maharaj, and he is the one who actually got this 26 second amendment. And he got this another apartment just behind the storefront. And there, Krishna consciousness movement started. Previously, the name of the store was the matchless gift. Prabhupada asked him to keep that. Prabhupada came to give a matchless gift. And and this is how it all started. Many of the devotees from those days frankly admitted they didn't understand what Prabhupada spoke. They did not understand the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. They did not understand Prabhupada's accent. Prabhupada, like many of us, have a strong Indian accent. American youth those days were not so well acquainted with that kind of accent. I mean, storefront, Genesis 2nd Avenue. Prabhupada B. Mings used to give the discourse of Bhagavad Gita. And they started, the young boys and girls started to come. Like, they, the ones, those who became very attracted to Srila Prabhupada and started to help Srila Prabhupada was Kirtan of the Swami and his group. In that group there was Kirtan of the Maharaj and there, Achyutan of the Swami, then Humabhati Maharaj, and a few of them, they became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. Then Brahmananda Prabhu came and joined. He didn't belong to that group. He was different. He was a school teacher and he was very much attracted by or influenced by Indian philosophy, Bhagavad Gita. And he was planning to go to India. And one day Brahmananda Prabhu told me about his first meeting with Sri Prabhupada. So he saw that Swami given class on Bhagavad Gita. And so he thought of meeting the Swami. So one day he got an appointment in Srila Prabhupada, so he came to Prabhupada. And he, in order to impress upon Srila Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, I also read Bhagavad Gita. And he pulled out the Bhagavad Gita that he was carrying. So he, then Prabhupada told him, okay, open it. Open any page. So he opened the page. Then he said, read. So he read. Then Prabhupada said, now close the book. He closed the book. Then Prabhupada said, now tell me what you understood. And he realized that he didn't understand anything. He's reading Bhagavad Gita, but he didn't understand anything. And that's what Prabhupada pointed out. Just reading Bhagavad Gita, you don't understand. To explain Bhagavad Gita to you, to reveal Bhagavad Gita to you, you need a teacher, a guru. And he was very impressed with that. So he became attracted. And Kirtanananda and the group, actually I just remembered, that became actually attracted, came to Srila Prabhupada through, what was his name, Kirtanananda's friend? Hayagriva. Hayagriva actually named Srila Prabhupada. He saw Srila Prabhupada and he told Prabhupada that he was planning to go to India. And Srila Prabhupada asked, he even told him that he was in India already. And then when he spoke to Srila Prabhupada, he saw that all the sadhus that he met in India, no one was like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was completely different from all of the sadhus. That's what impressed him. And then he doesn't know what his friend and other friends he brought them to him. I believe that he doesn't know quite healthy. The others were quite so in this way, devotees started to come. Another person who joined at the time was Satsuru Maharaj. A very different person. Very sober, very gentlemanly. Used to work in a social, what's it called, social worker. He became attracted. And then Prabhupada gave initiation. Some of them got initiated. Kirtananda Swami didn't get initiated, he appeared in the hospital. And Mukunda Maharaj got initiated, along with his wife. Not wife, girlfriend. Those days young Americans did not get married. They lived together as girlfriend boyfriend. after initiation Prabhupada told him that now that you're initiated, you can't give my girlfriend boyfriend. And 2 days after that, Prabhupada conducted the wedding. And then one day, Mukunda Maharaj was speaking to Prabhupada about how the movement, how the youth are in, American youth are going to San Francisco. And he felt that it would be nice if Prabhupada went to San Francisco, right in the middle of the hippie culture, hippie heaven. And Prabhupada liked that. And Prabhupada sent him to San Francisco to make another arrangement. And he also, Mukunda Maharaj contacted his two other friends and their girlfriends, Shyamasundara Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu, and Malati Mataji and Jamuna Mataji. Actually, Mukunda Maharaj's wife, Jenny, I mean rather Janaki, was the sister of Mother Jamuna. And so these three couples then go to San Francisco. And they found another place, like 26 Second Avenue, storefront, just next to where all the youth of America were gathering. There's two streets called 8 and Ashbury. They used to call that area Head Ashbury. And there was this next to Golden Gate Park where they used to spend their time. And then Prabhupada goes to San Francisco. And these three couples made all kinds of arrangements for Srila Prabhupada. And the youth of America started to become attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And then all kinds of amazing things started to happen. One of the amazing things that happened at that time was appearance of Lord Jagannath. One day they got Srila Prabhupada, one small murti figure. And when Prabhupada saw that, Prabhupada just offered obeisances. They were surprised. What happened? They just found that thing and they thought it was looking cute. So they thought I'm giving Prabhupada the gift. But who that was?
Jagannath.
Then Prabhupada asked them, was there any other such entity? They had two other entities. They said, Prabhupada said, get them. And this is how Jagannath Balaji went to the Japanese. And then Shyamasundara Prabhu knew how to carve, wood carving. So when Prabhupada got to know that, Prabhupada said, you make this, can you make this in a bigger form out of wood? And Shyamasundara Prabhu did that. He carved Jagannath Balaji into a big deity. And those deities were established in that storefront. And they used to have Mangalarathis every morning. And there also many young boys and girls became attracted. That was another thing, like initially it was just boys who were, some boys didn't have any place to stay. So they were staying, they just stayed in 26 Second Avenue. So could I want people to stay? But then Mother Jalurani, she had some difficulty with her parents. So she wanted to move out. She just said, Prabhupada said that she wanted to stay there. Then Prabhupada said, no, girls cannot stay in an ashram. But she just kept on insisting. Finally, Prabhupada agreed. And Prabhupada let her stay in the other room in his apartment. So kind. And this is how the Brahmachari Ashram started at ISKCON. So the boys and girls, Prabhupada saw in America, you can't segregate. Prabhupada saw that Jagannath is missing. So Prabhupada asked, what happened? Where is Jagannath? They said devotees took Jagannath to Golden Park. So Prabhupada immediately went there. And initially Prabhupada was quite annoyed because the whimsical took Jagannath out of the temple. And Prabhupada said, you can't do that. But when Prabhupada saw that his devotees were dancing and chanting around Jagannath, Prabhupada's heart melted. And then Prabhupada said, if you want to take on Jagannath out, there's a way to take Jagannath out too. And that's how the Rasi Dasa festival started. So in this way you can see how wonderfully Krishna's plans were just unfolding. Shiva Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness movement started to be established. And the youth, American youth like Dear Krishna Maharaj, offered everything to Shiva Prabhupada. And came to Shiva Prabhupada and dedicated themselves to spread. Boys and girls who got so much responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness. And that's what I was saying, that it is Krishna's arrangement that he sent. Like he allowed, he made these devotees to take part in America. They are not ordinary. Prabhupada himself also admitted that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sent his disciples to America. Prabhupada himself sent his disciples to America. Prabhupada was addressing his disciples and he said, my Guru Maharaj has sent you to assist me. So this is a very special movement. And we are very fortunate that some or other we have become connected to. And this movement, as Maharaj was saying, Janatana Biplava, he calls a revolution throughout the world, Biplava, a spiritual revolution all over the world. And we have seen how it's happening. The places where Krishna consciousness was impossible practically, like in East European countries. Today, they are the biggest, they are the most amazing things that are happening. Thousands of people are joining Krishna consciousness. Russia, Russia, Ukraine, Yugoslavia, I mean now it's Bosnia. Actually, any spiritual organization faces that difficulty, or rather, every spiritual organization faces that difficulty. Like a spiritual, charismatic, powerful spiritual personality establishes its mission. experience, he's going to keep going strong and getting stronger and stronger. So that's a very good sign. And 35 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, he's going to still be there. And that is because of following Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Prabhupada told us to manage the institution correctly, as opposed to making one person the head of the institution. Prabhupada pointed out in Gauriamath, they made the same mistake. They made that mistake. They made one person the head, and when that person had spiritual difficulties, everything collapsed. Whereas in ISKCON, although the many senior devotees had spiritual difficulties, but ISKCON is still going strong. Because it is based on the ISKCON is being managed and maintained by concept of collective practice. Individuals may have difficulty, but this collective concept of management is protecting us from that difficulty. It is not depending, this institution is not depending on any one person's charismatic leadership. This institution is being maintained by the loyal followers of Srila Prabhupada. And in this structure, there is one leader, and that is Srila Prabhupada. And that is how what we have to actually hold on to for time to come, for thousands of years to come. In ISKCON, Prabhupada will always be the spiritual head. And all the those who will be managing ISKCON will become loyal servants of Srila Prabhupada. And that is how ISKCON will keep on expanding to the collective concept, collective endeavor for management. So now you all become serious. You can accept the responsibility to spread this movement. Do not just become caught up just by earning money and maintaining yourself. With whatever means you have, whatever ability you have, with that ability, try to spread this movement. There is no need to think that, oh, what can I do? I'm so insignificant. No, drops of water make the ocean. So everybody has something to contribute. And that contribution is towards expanding the kitchen. Take up this mission seriously. Become serious. We have a leader like Srila Prabhupada. And if we commit ourselves to Srila Prabhupada's mission, spiritual sky, the doors of the spiritual sky will open up one for us. We do not want to rot here forever, life after life. We have been doing that. Now let's dedicate this life to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Whatever limitation, whatever means you have, whatever resources you have, whatever enemies you have, with that, just try to spread this movement. All right? Become serious, take up this mission, and move this, and push this movement forward. Any question? No? Any question? We want to hear some questions. Otherwise, I will ask you. We will ask you. It's very nice that you all are dedicating yourself, like today, so many of our God brothers were praising Shraddha. All of you have science is put together and you'll see. First question, Rolina.
Why when Prabhupada established his conscious society when he was going very big, did Prabhupada said anything about future, like how big his conscious society will go and how
will Prabhupada say this? Well, Prabhupada said it, but more important, or most important, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this movement will spread in every town and village, all over the world. Now, will Mahaprabhu's words go in vain? Ever. So that is the thing. Right? It will happen. Prabhupada has that implicit faith. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has that implicit faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has that implicit faith. So this is how the pure devotees have implicit faith in the words of the personality of God. And with that conviction, they keep on acting. Prabhupada didn't have the slightest doubt. And as you are saying, from Prabhupada's own point of view, when Prabhupada in New York City, he used to go for a walk in a park. And one day, Prabhupada just came to New York 3 days ago. And Prabhupada was sitting on a bench. And another gentleman came and sat next to Srila Prabhupada. Out of curiosity, he started to speak to Srila Prabhupada, who he was. And Prabhupada started to tell him that he had many temples and he had many followers, and Prabhupada just to graphically describe what he has. And the man was surprised. He said, "You said that you just came the other day. So how can you speak like this?" And then Prabhupada said, "Yes, they are there. Only time is separate." Only time was separate. So in Prabhupada's mind it was clear what would happen in due course of time. That will become manifest to our vision. They are manifest already in Prabhupada's vision. But to our vision it will become manifest in due course of time. Yes.
Although there are different stages of devotional service, anartha nivritti, then nishtha bhakti. But after nishtha bhakti, some of us have gone back to anartha nivritti or even lower, bhajana kriya. But is there any hope for us?
Let me see.
Yeah.
Is
that?
Yeah. All right.
Good.
Yeah. First of all, you were not nishtha. That's the point. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes nishtha has two aspects to it. One is the aspect dealing with your sadhana, and the other aspect is the aspect dealing with the rest of the day. So what happens is that if you're not steady in both aspects of your life, the sadhana and the rest of the day, then you're not really on the platform of nishtha. You think you're on the platform of nishtha, but you're not on the platform of nishtha. And even if you have good sadhana, because throughout the rest of the day, you're maybe taking bad association. Or as Prabhupada said about his disciples, he said they'll eat any damn thing. You understand what I mean? In that words, their eating habits are such that they're eating food either cooked by non-devotees or listening to things by non-devotees. And Krishna says, eat the karnam guna sandasha sadasarata majonishu, that because of the living entity's entanglement is guna sangha, associated with modes of nature. So therefore, you weren't a nishtha and you weren't acting properly and you weren't careful. And probably another thing Prabhupada said, he said, especially about, he said, you was
some of the allurements here. You know, we Westerners, Prabhupada was very scared of us getting attracted to what he considered to be hippie seeds. It was interesting in the beginning days of the movement. If a devotee even had more than 2 weeks of growth on his hair, Prabhupada said, "You're growing hippie seeds again." Because Prabhupada was very, very cautious about that. So that was the danger from the initial group of devotees. But for the devotees who come from India, you get so much allured. I mean, for example, sometimes I'm giving a program and I ask the people, you know, devotees generally, who here has been to Disney World? Everybody raises their hand. And I say, who has been to Disney World twice? Everybody raises their hand. Who has been to Disney World 3 times? 99% of them raise their hand. So that's more than the Americans. I mean, the Americans go once or something like that, and that's it, you know, it's pretty boring. So you get lured by this easy Western facility, which is actually makes people more miserable.
Allurements
of Maya. I mean, it's just like a Maya Sukaya, you know, the false happiness of Maya. You find people are more miserable. They've done psychological, sociological studies that people are actually more miserable in these wealthy countries than they are in Bangladesh. I mean, Bangladesh had a higher level of happiness, and you know Bangladesh is poorer than India, than America. I mean, just today I was flying on the airplane, and I was looking at people's faces. They were all just like so miserable. You know, I started to smile at them. Give a little happiness. But coming from India, sometimes you think, this is, it's like a child in a candy store. But then the child eats too much candy and then they get diabetes or sick or something like that. So that's the problem, I'm sure. So first of all, be on Nishtha. 24 hours a day, be controlling your senses, having good association, and also good sadhana. That's another thing that I noticed with many of the devotees after some time, both Indians and Western devotees. They start to neglect their sadhana. Prabhupada was so strict. I remember we were in Mexico City, and Prabhupada had a program up until midnight that night. And so when it came time for Mangalarti, all the devotees were sleeping, except for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came down and said, "What happened to Mangalarti?" And they said, "Well, we're up late. Last night we were sleeping." Prabhupada was so upset with the devotees for not getting up early and having good sadhana. So we tend to neglect the sadhana after some time. And he's rising early. I mean, Prabhupada was very strict about these things. Prabhupada himself, no matter where he was in the world or what time he took rest, and Dr. Jumaraj will tell you about this, he was just like clockwork. He was up there doing his translation, chanting. Very strong in the sadhana. I mean, you could set your watch to Srila Prabhupada's activities. So really, get to Nishtha first, and then we'll talk about it. Is that right?
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, I was just going to ask you now, how many of you are going to attend Mangalarti from tomorrow? Very good. Very good. Very good. Yeah. So that is the result of sadhana. Sadhus come here to cut your maya, right? That is why you should have the sadhus come. So see what's happening? Just lava mantra sadhu shanghe, sadhu shanghe. So you heard Maharaj, and now you please take it to heart. Seriously, you must. Yes.
Dynamic way, this moment scattered. No? Especially in the US, we have seen a lot of places. No? But nowadays, the flow, the diet, the power, we could not see like that. That way.
Yeah. see, there are various reasons. One reason is, you see, after Srila Prabhupada left, our movement has gone through a lot of difficulties. And one of the outcome of the difficulty was that many senior devotees left the movement. And as a result of that, you know, there is a lack of senior devotees in the movement. Like, I mean, those days, there were so many very qualified devotees in this country. But now what has happened, then another thing that happened, like one of the things that happened is, you see, many devotees after Prabhupada, you see, when Prabhupada was here, most of the devotees were young. And they all were, most of them were actually brahmacharis. But then came a stage when many devotees, you know, entered into household life. And when you enter into household life, then you cannot really give that kind of time to the movement. When you're a brahmachari or a sannyasi, then 24 hours for Krishna. But when one enters into household life, gradually what happens, they can barely give 2-3 hours a week for Krishna. Right? Only on Sundays they come. Prabhupada wanted all devotees to be centered around the temple. During Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada did not really want devotees to have, even householder devotees, to have their own deities. The Prabhupada said, like, if you want to have your own deity, then your deity, own deity worship, then why am I building, why am I establishing this temple? So this is how, you see, the involvement of devotees started to diminish. And so this is one aspect, like many devotees left. And now I go to the main point. You see, the main point, the main substance or basis for spiritual life is Shraddha, Alu Shraddha. Spiritual life is actually based on Shraddha. Like during Prabhupada's time, the Shraddha was so strong. Like not only that, the devotees had Shraddha for Srila Prabhupada, the kind of Shraddha that devotees had for the leaders were practically at the same level. Even the way the temple president used to be looked up to. And, but due to various reasons, which is understandable, you know, when so many leaders fell down, when so many, you know, senior devotees had serious spiritual difficulties, and so many anti-propaganda, like, about ISKCON's, you know, way of managing ISKCON's leadership, this Shraddha is being affected. And because of the lack of Shraddha, you know, our inner structure has become considerably weak. And also, there are other difficulties, like, you know, failing to engage devotees properly. Like during Prabhupada's time, there was so much excitement. Devotees were excited to go to different places and open temples and, or, you know, join different temples and become seriously involved and, you know, like go out, distribute books, like go out in Sankirtan. for the leadership of the movement and for the confidence in the process of Krishna consciousness. So these are the factors that are affecting, and you know, like somehow or other we have to overcome them. Like, you know, like for example, I'll say the kind of respect that the devotees used to have for the temple president in those days. Devotees don't really display that kind of confidence and respect for that, for the temple president nowadays. And, you know, sannyasis and gurus maybe demand, maybe command in some respect. But why only then? We should have respect for all the devotees, all the senior devotees. Like those days, if somebody joined the movement 6 months before us, he was treated as a senior devotee. If someone was in a responsible position, well, he was worshipped. So some, you know, like that, these are the things that are very, very essential in both ways. On the part of the leaders, they have to make arrangements to inspire devotees, facilitate devotees to achieve something wonderful for Srila Prabhupada. And on the part of the junior devotees, following devotees, they have to have the confidence that these are our leaders and we have to follow them with full conviction. Like today, Maharaj was telling me that the number of devotees, few years in the movement, and now they're just living in Radhapur, you know, indulging in all kinds of, you know, intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna. You know, during proper times, we couldn't even imagine things like that. You know? And why? Because they don't accept the authority's instruction. They decide, well, this is what I want to do. And as a result of that, you know, they're going anywhere. So therefore, again, I just point out, like, you all, those who are seriously involved in the movement, just take it up. Take up the mission very sincerely. And consider that how you are going to push this movement forward. Don't wait for somebody else to come. And just take it upon yourself. What can I do to spread this movement? Go out, distribute books, go out, preach. Go out and sign up some people. You know, and this is what is going to bring newcomers to come. Last time I was here, I just noticed one thing, I observed one thing. I'm just being, you know, since you are asking, I think it's my duty to be frank with you. You know, in the Sunday feast, I saw there must have been about 200-300 Western students taking prasad. Now they're coming to our temple, but why they are not accepting Krishna consciousness? They're coming to the Sunday feast, but they don't come to the class to listen. Now what is the most important thing? Prasad will have its effect, no doubt about it. But the spiritual process is shravana. If you don't hear, you are not going to make any difference. So these boys and girls are coming so close to us. Now what we have to do is we have to speak to them, we have to make them understand the importance of Krishna consciousness. Don't feel shy. Oh, will they listen to me? No, it doesn't matter. Whether they listen to you or not, but you speak to them. And then whether they will listen to you or not, leave it up to Krishna. They are coming to take prasad. Now then they take a real prasad of Krishna consciousness. So many young boys and girls, they are you. If you preach to them properly, they will, at least some of them will accept. Like, just see, we are in America, but besides, Veerakrishna Maharaj, there is not a single American here. Isn't there? Why? The Prabhupada will ask that question. We are in America, why the Americans are not here? We should make that our mission. Let us go and preach to the Americans and bring them here. It's good that Indians are coming, you all are coming. It's very good. This movement is big for everybody. But we should make it a point that it is for everybody. It's not only for Indians. This movement is for everyone. So please, now that you ask that question, you know, like now, if you feel that the answer is worth listening to, please take it up seriously. And Shraddhadeva, I'll tell you, you are a temple president, you should take up the responsibility to preach. Make sure that everybody preaches. Make sure that everybody goes out to distribute Krishna consciousness. Like, make arrangements, like the one, you know, why not invite the senior devotees? Like, they're really Prabhupada disciples that we saw today. And, you know, if these young boys, young students, American students, they're not, if you feel that they won't take our preaching that seriously, give the American senior devotees to come and preach to them. Make arrangements like that. Make it, because it's our responsibility to spread the movement. Let's take up this mission. Do you want this?
Great job.
Thank you. Do you have a question?
I don't answer already. I have the like same question. What do you answer? You answer in the sentence. You are thinking about how you think. Because it's quite, you know, long year, you know, this temple is never here. Every Sunday, like, most, sometimes like 300-400 people comes. And we have good Indian community and some other Western people also involved. Like, sometimes I notice. But nobody is in the, you know, actual devotee or taking initiation or following the order.
Anyway, so today we asked how many of you are going to add in Mangalarti from tomorrow? Not just tomorrow, tomorrow is wishing you joke. But from tomorrow onwards, make the point. Make the point to come and attend Mangalarti. So this is how the temple atmosphere will become very vibrant. You know, like, consider. If a new person joins, if a young American student joins, but then he comes and starts to stay in the temple, I mean, comes to the Mangalarti, and he sees that except the pujari, there's no one there. There's the pujari and him. You know, how will he be inspired? On the other hand, if he sees there's a vibrant atmosphere in the temple, then they'll also and many of you, I mean, like Shripati was traveling with me. I mean, he's a great preacher. Once he starts preaching, he's fine. But I haven't seen him preaching here. Of course, he preaches through his cooking, but he's a good preacher. And I know Makanchur has been a very good preacher. Same thing with Shraddhadeva, same thing with Rohini. And I'm sure many of the girls are also. I'm a little bit of a good teacher. Very important. So don't feel shy about preaching. You know what Prabhupada used to say? you at least know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, you just go and tell people that Krishna is God. That will be preaching. Just go and tell people that you know who is the Supreme Person. Do you believe in God? Do you know who God is? Krishna is the Supreme Person. That much you can, everybody can say. Even a child can say. Okay, so it's almost 9 o'clock.
Krishna, 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 Krish Krishna, 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 Krish